Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Appreciate you tuning in. We've got a great guest today, somebody who I've waited far too long to get onto the show here. Adam Pfeiffer of FTN Network. You can see all his content across all sports over there at FTN Fantasy. You can also listen to him on the Fade the Chalk podcast. And you should already know about that show because he co-hosts it with our buddy D-Bro, Derek Brown. Derek Brown's been on the show a ton of times before. And actually, he's a little under the weather this week, and I know that because I was the jerk pestering him with trade offers the last few days and wondering why he wasn't responding to me, only to find out that he has a cold or something. He was a little down and out for a couple days there, so we're wishing him the best, obviously. You know, I think he actually might have even missed an episode of Fade the Chalk on Monday. I believe that's what he said, and hopefully this isn't like a HIPAA violation or something that I'm mentioning that he was actually under the weather for a couple days there, but we're wishing him a quick recovery. I'm sure he'll be backing at it soon enough here, but him and Adam have a great show, and they're doing awesome work over at FTN, and you can follow Adam on Twitter at apfeifer24. That's APFEIFER24. And we're going to pick his brain today about some of the big questions heading into week 8. And we're going to get some bold predictions from him for the rest of the fantasy season as well. So that's exciting. Let's get him in here. Adam, welcome to the show, man. Another first-time guest. We've had a bunch of those recently. It's been awesome getting some new blood in here. So thank you for taking the time. How you been, man?
Yeah, Justin, thanks for having me. It's going. That's the best way to put it, right? We talk pre-show. Basketball started. I do basketball for FTN, and obviously I'm doing a ton of football. And like you mentioned, I co-host Fade the Chalk with D-Bro. We do, you know, five, six episodes a week, but D-Bro's only on two of them a week because he's so busy with content. So I end up hosting either by myself for a couple, like I do a Sunday recap episode, or I guess it's Monday technically, by myself. So it's a lot, but it's, you know, it's talking sports, it's writing about sports, so you won't catch me complaining about that. And happy to be here, man. It's always fun when you come on Fade the Chalk, so nice to be on your podcast now.
Yeah, I can't wait to come on with you guys. Hopefully we can find a week that works here upcoming. We've been trying to do that for a little while here, but in season it's always tough and we're always very, very busy, and there's a lot to talk about, right? So I want to dive right in here, and I want to start with the Thursday nighter. Sometimes we kind of skip the Thursday nighter if it's not really a very exciting game. This week, extremely exciting. The Packers, the Cardinals. If anybody's listening to this after Thursday, just go ahead. You can skip to the next section. But there's a lot to unpack on this Thursday nighter, so I wanted to hit on it this week. We have on the Cardinals side, DeAndre Hopkins. He actually might be a game-time decision due to a hamstring injury. Cliff Kingsbury said that he kind of expects Hopkins to suit up, and we know that's the kind of player Hopkins is, right? And he can miss all the practice time, still show up and have decent performances on game day. He's done that a bunch of times, so not overly worried about him at this point. But Adam, I want to ask you about the Packers offense, because they got hit hard by COVID this week. Devontae Adams is out. Alan Lazard is out. We're waiting to see if Marquez Valdes-Scantling can be activated. He's been on IR since week 3, I believe, but he's been back practicing. Seems like he's probably going to be available for this one. Randall Cobb should have a big role. Aaron Rodgers' buddy got him over there in the offseason. This will be the time for him to shine, obviously. Robert Tonyan, the backs there. I mean, everybody's going to have to pick up the slack with Devontae out and to a lesser extent with Lazard out as well. So I want to know, how are you approaching the Packers offense for this one? Who are you confident about? Who are you staying away from? You know, who should fantasy managers actually be playing in this game on Thursday night?
Aaron Jones. it'd be different if this game was last week, right, where we had six teams on bye and everybody was scrambling to find viable plays. You only have two teams on bye. Hollywood Brown's been amazing. You'll have to replace him on bye. But, like, it's interesting because Devontae Adams, I think, like, he's unlikely to play. There's still, like, a small chance he is tested again tomorrow morning. Everything goes well, and Devontae Adams is so good that if I'm Green Bay's management, I'm like, okay, if he's good to go, let's cough up all the money and get this guy a private jet to get to Arizona. Like, it's a huge game for the NFC playoff standings, obviously, but it seems unlikely he plays. I mean, you have to think Aaron Jones gets more involved, especially if MVS is, you know, unable to return. MVS is going to be like a viable flex play. The problem is there's, like, he's not going to suddenly come in, even with Lazard out as well, come in and see, like, 8 to 10 targets, I don't think, because he's not going to be that. You know, the thing with Rodgers and Adams is it's just unspoken chemistry, like, yeah, Timing routes that you just can't replace with another player. And I think MVS is still going to be primarily the deep target. So Randall Cobb could actually be like a decent PPR option. Obviously, Rodgers wanted him back in Green Bay. And this could maybe help Robert Tonyan, who's been just super low floor. If he doesn't score, he is going to give you like 2 points. He's been under like 15 yards in like over half of his games. But he had a nice game last week, and they're just going to have to, you know, everybody's going to have to step up. Like, when you're replacing Adams, it's not like replacing, you know, you're replacing the best receiver in the NFL who has, you know, always been 30 plus percent of the targets, 40 plus percent of the receiving yards. So I think it's going to be like a receiver by committee type situation where everybody's going to have to step up. And I also think Rodgers, like, I'm not running away from Rodgers if Adams is out. Obviously, he's not, you know, a top five guy or anything, but we've seen him have some good splits without Adams in the lineup. Like, if you're debating between, like, Rodgers and some other, like, quarterbacks in the back end of quarterback one range, like a Kirk Cousins or maybe, like, a Joe Burrow, sure, if you want to go to Burrow or Cousins, totally get that. But, like, I'm not playing, picking up a streamer and playing him over Aaron Rodgers just because Adams is unlikely to play.
Yeah, and that Cardinals defense has been pretty good this year, and that factors in as well. We could talk all we want about though. It potentially being a shootout, but
I think they're due to, like, because they've played some... They've played some good offenses. They've also played a lot of underwhelming quarterbacks. They faced Davis Mills last week. They faced Baker without some of his receivers in a windy Cleveland. Like, their defense is good. Their pass rush is very good, but I still think Rodgers can get his in this game.
I would love to see it happen. And like you mentioned, there are some splits out there without Davante Adams where they've still done okay. Harder time believing that's going to be the case this week, especially on a shorter week and stuff. But if anybody can do it, Aaron Rodgers can. I want to talk about another team that, I mean, at least until recently, was also playing without some of their best receivers. Talking about the Titans here. So AJ Brown, Julio Jones, they were out a few weeks back. They're both back in the lineup. And since they returned, the Titans have kind of started rolling here, right? They snuck by our Bills. We don't need to talk about that,
yeah,
Adam and
say,
I.
Let's not talk about that.
No, we're both Bills fans. I actually had Victoria Geary on last week, also a Bills fan, and we talked about it enough on that episode, just rehashing all of the ending of that game. But looking here, they beat the Bills. They sneak by them. Then they really dominate the Chiefs last week, and we know Derrick Henry's killing it. You know, there were legit concerns a few weeks ago about Ryan Tannehill, about this passing attack. But now Brown, Julio, they're back. Things have been kind of rolling here and a little better. Do you think fantasy managers can start to trust these guys again? And obviously, you know, AJ Brown's somebody that, regardless, he's a name that, you know, if he's available, you're going to have him on your roster in your lineup there. But a guy like Tannehill, a guy like Julio Jones, where we haven't seen as much from him in a Titans uniform, do you think fantasy managers can start to trust these guys again?
AJ Brown, like 100%. He obviously had the injury a couple weeks back. Then he's had the Chipotle situation, but he's good to go. Coming off his best game this season, he's like an absolute smash play this week. Like you said, you're playing him in every lineup you have him. But even in DFS, like the Colts' pass defense went from the past couple years being pretty good and limiting a ton of passing plays deep down the field to just kind of getting destroyed this year, right? They are giving up the second highest passing touchdown rate in the NFL at 7.2%. And like opposing top receivers are just dismantling this team. Week one, Tyler Lockett, you can make the case, you know, when Russell Wilson's healthy, you can make the case Lockett's the 1A, 1B, whatever. 4 for 102 touchdowns. Then in week two, Cooper Kupp, because it's a Sunday or a Thursday, he had a huge game because that's all he does now. He went for 9 for 163 and 2. Then week four, Devontae Parker was kind of their number one receiver before he got hurt, 4 for 77 in a score. Week five, Hollywood Brown in that overtime game, 9 for 125 and 2 touchdowns. Week six, Brandon Cook had 89 yards on 9 catches. And then on Sunday Night Football last week, Deebo Samuel, 7 for 100 in a touchdown. So they were getting destroyed by top receivers. So A.J. Brown, elite, elite play. With Tannehill, it's been tough because they're obviously giving Derrick Henry 30 carries, and it's not even really, you know, that's not even like a stretch or an exaggeration. He's literally getting right close to 30 carries every game. So it does hurt the upside of Tannehill. But in this spot, I do think Tannehill is close to Aaron Rodgers, like we talked about. Like, he's in that top 12 for me pretty easily. So I do think it's a good spot. Julio's the tricky one because you can't find a receiver over the past 10 years that I've loved as much as Julio Jones. I think he's one of the 5 best receivers to ever play football. I honestly do. But, I mean, he's 32 now. He's had this issue with the hamstring multiple times this season. And it just feels like, and it should be expected given the stages of their career, that A.J. Brown's clearly the one here. And if they're not throwing enough, you know, to support both of them. It's tough to trust Julio. Like, he's a fine wide receiver three. I would safely trust, I would say, Tannehill and A.J. Brown, given the matchup, and then obviously Derrick Henry. But Julio, I'm still a little bit on the fence about.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you there. I want to talk about another team that has two pretty good receivers, and we're really only seeing one of them produce right now, the Panthers passing attack. Because we were talking about the Titans, you know, a few weeks ago, struggling to get their way out of that rough stretch. The Panthers, they started the season hot, and I don't know if defenses have figured out Sam Darnold. I don't know what's going on there, but it's been pretty rocky the last few weeks here, to the point where we had to have a report come out today, just where Matt Rhule said that, yes, the plan is still to start Sam Darnold this week. Like, he actually had to reiterate that they were going to start him. They don't really have another option. I mean, PJ Walker, some people in, you know, two QB super flex leagues have gotten a little excited about him at times, but he came in last week. He didn't look great. He is definitely just a backup quarterback. I think it would have to be a trade for someone else coming in there to overtake Darnold at this point in the season. But they have a pretty decent matchup with the Falcons this week. Maybe a spot for them to finally get right here. Do you see this as a week where Darnold, maybe Robbie Anderson can get going? Obviously, same kind of situation as the Titan. DJ Moore would be the AJ Brown. We're putting him in our lineup. He's been having a pretty good year so far. You know, we've seen Robbie get all these targets and just not really put up much production with it. Is this the week that they're finally going to get going? Or do you think Darnold and Anderson are just two guys that maybe are better just dropped to the waiver wire at this point?
Yeah, I was holding out hope for Robbie Anderson before the Vikings game. I thought that was going to be the week, and he scored in that game, but it was still an incredibly underwhelming outing from him. Like, I think he probably should be on the waiver wire. Like you mentioned, like, the targets are there, but he's just not, like, he's had a lot of drops, and a lot of the, if you watch, it's a lot of, like, and it's weird because these two have obviously played together in the past, but a lot of it's like, you know, Darnold thinks Robbie Anderson's either going to sit on a route and he throws it behind him when Anderson's running, or vice versa. It's just not, they're not on the same page, which is, again, kind of surprising given their track record together. Like, for me, it's tough, right? We're in week 8 now, and if you have Robbie Anderson on your team, like, I'll take the L. He was one of my favorite values in drafts this offseason, but, like, if he was on your team, you're probably not, like, unless you're loaded elsewhere, you're probably not 6-0 or 5 or 7-0 or whatever. So you definitely need a win this week. And are you going to be able to trust Robbie Anderson? I don't think so. Like, in a DFS, you know, dart throw, he's still cheap and getting targets, sure, but in terms of redraft, it is very tough to, even against the Atlanta Falcons, to really get on board with Robbie Anderson. Like, DJ Moore is getting elite target numbers. Like, we have a stat over at FTN Fantasy, which shows the amount of targets a player has that have been the first read. Cooper Kupp leads the league, not surprisingly, 67 first read targets. DJ Moore is number two. So, like, with 63, like, he's clearly the guy here. So I would have a tough time trusting Robbie Anderson, despite the targets he's seeing. It's tough to trust given if you're getting 9 targets a game, you would expect production. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think because of the targets, I'm still keeping him on my bench. I'm not dropping him. Just hoping that with that volume, if it continues, because you compare him to, like, a guy like Allen Robinson right now, where Robinson isn't even getting the target volume, mm-hmm. really, right? Like, he's not seeing anything in that offense, unfortunately. Whereas Anderson, they're trying to get him the ball. It's pretty obvious that they want to get him involved and get him going. It just hasn't happened yet. Now, will it happen? I'm hoping a week like this, but I want to see him do it before I put him back in my lineup at this point. I'm curious, we're talking about volume and target shares kind of in these different passing attacks. I want to ask you about the Cowboys, because they're coming off the bye. I think we could say they're likely going to get Michael Gallup back this week off IR. He's been back out there at practice. Hopefully he'll get activated this week. And it's been a while since we've seen all these receivers healthy in that Cowboys passing attack, but we're just, you know, they're going to try to figure it out on the fly here and get him back in, and we're going to have to adjust as fantasy managers on the fly. How do you see Gallup impacting things, him coming back? And, you know, CeeDee Lamb has kind of taken over as the number one there. Amari Cooper's been playing a little banged up. Maybe somebody like Dalton Schultz is actually going to get hurt a little more because they're going to be able to play more 3 wide sets. How do you feel about those other options in the Cowboys passing attack now that Gallup's coming back, either this week, which I think, or, you know, maybe next week at the latest?
Yeah. So it seems like forever ago, but back in week 1, the first game of the season, Tampa Bay, Dallas, that Thursday night game, Gallup was the receiver on the field in 2 wide receiver sets. It was Cooper and Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb was the one not playing in 2 wide sets. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb still produces because, you know, he's awesome. But at this point, like, I don't know how you can, you know, just take Lamb off the field regardless. What's really going to impact it is the game script for Dallas, because unlike last year, we're seeing them control the game. Their defense isn't elite or anything, but they're taking, you know, they're getting turnovers. They're not giving up a ton of points. And as a result, Dak Prescott's been, you know, under 30 passing attempts in a handful of different games, whereas last year was like you could guarantee him for 45. And if he's throwing 28 to 30 times instead of 40 to 45, there's not going to be enough to go around when Zeke and Pollard are still getting a few targets. CeeDee Lamb, like you said, is kind of emerging as the wide receiver one. Cooper's still there. Gallup coming back. And Dalton Schultz, I don't think Dalton Schultz is going anywhere. I think Gallup comes back and might even just take away from Amari Cooper a little bit. But this is a situation where Gallup, we talked about him. We did the waiver wire episode of Fade the Chalk on Monday. He's only rostered in like 40% of Yahoo leagues. And like, still, even though the volume isn't as high for Dallas this year, the wide receiver three on an offense this good still needs to be rostered in way more leagues than that.
Yeah, and this could be a game. I mean, against the Vikings on Sunday night, 55 projected points in that one. Could be a game where they're kind of forced to throw a little more. I would like to see that just to see what exactly happens when they get that kind of volume, and then we'll have that data point moving forward. Hopefully this isn't one where the Cowboys
go back to throwing 45 times, then it's just start all of them. I mean, you're starting CeeDee Lamb every week. Cooper's been the one that's been really frustrating lately. He's been dealing with some injuries too, but Gallup, I think Gallup's going to be like the guy they take shots down the field with. And CeeDee Lamb has been, you know, out wide a lot more because of Gallup's absence. And he was even playing out wide more, a lot more in preseason and training camp. So I wonder if they're going to move him into the slot more, which, and CeeDee Lamb in the slot is, you know, forget about it. You're not guarding him. But maybe there's going to be some more inconsistencies with somebody like Amari Cooper. I think Lamb will be fine still. Maybe not like a top 10 receiver, but right outside that cusp, I think. But it'll be interesting to see. I remember Gallup got hurt and it was like, okay, I'll be back in 3 weeks. And here we are week eight and he might come back.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get to our bold predictions, like I mentioned off the top, but I saw you tweet a couple times in the last few days here about T. Higgins and why fantasy managers should be trading for him. I noticed just one tweet, to be honest. And then when I went back to make sure it was there today, there were several tweets about it. So I'm going to go ISO ball here. I just want to clear out. I want to give you the floor. Give everybody the rundown on why T. Higgins is just a great trade target this week. Go for it.
So you mentioned the tweets, and then Debra and I every Wednesday do our trade episode. And here we are talking about T. Higgins again. And I just think you're looking at the game he just had, right? 11 targets in the first half, finishes with 15. And earlier in the season, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're still playing at one of the slowest paces in the NFL, but they were also running the ball a ton because they're kind of easing Joe Burrow in. Each week he's been more comfortable. The Bengals' passing rate's gone up. You saw it last week. They threw the ball 38 times in a game that they were pretty much ahead throughout against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase is clearly the alpha. He's clearly the one. He's amazing. But it's T. Higgins that leads the team with a 27% target share. Jamar Chase is just over 24%. And then you look at it, he missed a couple games earlier in the year, missed two games, I believe, with a shoulder injury. But he scored the first two games of the season, then he got hurt. This is a shocking stat that I literally uncovered while we were doing the pod earlier. So let me ask you this, Justin. If you had to guess, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to guess, it's relatively easy, which team in the NFL has the fewest red zone scoring attempts per game?
The Texans.
Absolutely. The Cincinnati Bengals are next. And it's
really
not because
wow.
Their offense is bad. It's because you look up and Jamar Chase is running 70 yards to the house. CJ Uzama has like 3 touchdowns this year from like 40 plus yards out.
Yeah.
They have a ton of long passing plays that's taking away from the red zone scoring opportunities. 1.9 per game, second fewest in the NFL. And where is T. Higgins best at? In the red zone. He's still, in my opinion, Joe Burrow's preferred target when they get inside the five. So once Jamar Chase, maybe it happens, maybe he's just the best receiver ever, once he stops taking 50-yard receptions to the house every week, T. Higgins is going to get some touchdowns, and he's getting the targets, and the passing offense it's getting more volume, and Joe Burrow's playing really well right now. So all that makes me think T. Higgins right now, probably the best, one of the best, I would say, trade targets in fantasy football. And yeah, I actually traded for him last week, too, so I'm ahead of schedule.
Well, we're going to talk about bold predictions now. I got another receiver who I think is a pretty good trade target, but I'm with you on T. Higgins. I mean, he's a guy that I was trying to get everywhere before the season, and I was just really excited about that Bengals passing attack, whether it was going to be him as the number one receiver there or Chase as the number one receiver. I felt pretty confident that those guys are going to put up big stats. So we've kind of seen when they've both been out there healthy that Tyler Boyd's the one that's taken that complete backseat to the other two. So I think they're both going to be great fantasy plays the rest of the way. But we've teased it enough. Let's get to these bold predictions here. And before the season, you know, it seems like everybody tosses out their bold predictions at that point. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. I definitely do a bold predictions article as well. Sometimes they hit. Often they don't reach the level that we're kind of suggesting they will, that we're predicting they'll get to. But there's normally something you can take out of those. Now we got 7 weeks of data to work with here, though, so we should be able to make some better predictions for the second half of the season, at least. That's what I'm hoping. That's why I want to do this here. So what's a bold take here that you have for the rest of the season? You know, maybe we'll just go back and forth. You can start first, but what's a prediction you got for the rest of the year?
Yeah, and this bold prediction just kind of proves how much things can change and how quickly things can change in fantasy football. But I'm going to go Elijah Mitchell, top 10 running back rest of season.
I like it.
So he obviously... He was the first player anybody kind of went crazy on the waiver wire for, right? Back after week one. Obviously, Raheem Mostert back then, you know, suffered the season-ending injury, which is awful. And then, you know, Trey Sermon was a healthy scratch, so it looked like Elijah Mitchell was the guy. Then Mitchell gets hurt, misses a couple games, but he's back. And on Sunday night, he played around 60% of the snaps. He had 18 of the 21 running back carries. Trey Sermon is not... He's not part of this. Like, he's not even part of the offense. Like, he didn't play a single snap.
Yeah.
He didn't play. Yeah. He didn't play a single snap. Mitchell looked good. He's the lead running back on a run first team led by Kyle Shanahan. And, like, he looked the part. His vision was really impressive against the Colts in that game. Don't know why they went away from him in the second quarter. But you look at the upcoming schedule. He's got Chicago this week, which isn't an awful matchup. They're going to be without Khalil Mack. Then he's got Arizona, the Rams, but then he's got Jacksonville, Minnesota, Seattle, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Tennessee, and Houston to end the season. I mean, those are some awesome matchups for a talented player. The only knock is that he's not involved in the passing game because Jamichael Hasty played like every third down on Sunday night, but he's going to get like 15 to 17 carries per game in an offense that should be improving at some point, whether it's a change at quarterback or getting George Kittle back. And that schedule is awesome. So give me Elijah Mitchell, top 10 running back rest of season.
I really like it. And he just has that game-breaking ability, right? Like, that's what they were using Raheem Mostert for. He can be that guy. He can score from basically anywhere on the field in that offense. So I really like that call. I talked about him a week or two ago as kind of a buy low running back. Because after that first game, when he was injured there, after the first game where he came back, the numbers weren't huge, but the playing time was what I cared about. And you touched on it there, right? Like, he came back in the very first game after injury, was right back up dominating the snaps in that backfield. And I know some people brought up Jeff Wilson and the fact that I haven't made a bigger deal about him, like in my waiver wire columns and stuff. I have him listed as like a IR stash. If you have an IR spot, you want to throw him in there, great. But the last update we got on him, we're not going to see him for another few weeks. So we're talking about maybe mid to late November at that point. And if he comes back, I don't think he's going to take the number one job. I think if he comes back, he'll just take over that Jamichael Hasty kind of role in the offense, right? Like, he'll take over that complimentary back. So I really like Mitchell. And this ties in really well. We did not talk about what our bold predictions were going to be. I sent you show notes. I wanted them to just kind of be a surprise so we could talk about it. And before the season, I wrote up that I thought there was a couple teams where you wanted to go out and get the running backs on those teams because they were going to be potential league winners for you in the second half of the season. Now, I will admit, I will take the L. I went with Trey Sermon on the 49ers. I think most of us did before the season, and obviously that hasn't worked out. But the other guy that I mentioned was Javonte Williams. So my prediction here is, and you tell me if it's high enough or not, I can go higher if we need to, but I think Javonte Williams is going to be a top 12 running back the rest of the way. Maybe I got to go top 10, but right now he's splitting time with Melvin Gordon. I know the stats haven't been massive yet, but he's been producing every game since like week two. In half PPR formats, he's the RB20 since week two. So maybe this isn't even bold enough, but we see this all the time with these rookie running backs, and it ties together with yours. Later in the season, they get more comfortable and we start to see them have bigger splashes. And the Broncos have a bye in week 11. Often after those bye weeks, the rookie running backs start to take on a little bit bigger of a role as well. And the schedule is about to get so much easier for them. Six of the Broncos' last seven opponents are in the top 12 in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs. And you just watch the games. Everyone's talking about it. Once or twice a game, he makes a play where you see the talent. you see him popping out there, and they're getting him involved as a pass catcher, which I think is really important too, because that's something we were worried about before the season. In college, he was obviously in that tandem with Michael Carter, but right now they're using him in every facet of the game, right? Like, Williams has at least 3 receptions in each of his last 5 games, had 6 catches last week. Give me Javonte everywhere I can get him. I drafted him a lot of places. I've had him on the bench. I've used him in a couple spot starts, but I think he's going to be a star down the stretch and into the fantasy playoffs here. I think he's going to still help people win their leagues. So I'm doubling down, I guess, on the bold prediction I had before the season.
Yeah, I like that call. D-Bro and I have been, you know, screaming from the rooftops to go trade for him. The schedule is ridiculous. I will say, as much as we all love Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon has played well this year, but it's at the point where it's like you kind of have to see what you have with Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon's not going to be there after the season, so I like that call.
Well, that's the other thing when we're looking at teams like the 49ers and the Broncos. If they start to fall out of the playoff race, which is possible for both those teams, and I talked about it on Monday's show, the waiver wire, I talked about it with Trey Lance, right? Like, everyone's talking about Trey Lance not being able to beat out Jimmy. Well, at some point in the season, it's going to shift to it doesn't matter anymore, and Trey Lance is just going to get out there, and they're going to see what they got in him. So, yeah, those are two offenses that I'm still attacking based on the schedules. I love that. You got another bold prediction for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a veteran. We've talked about a couple first and second year players and younger players. I'm going to go with the veteran Emmanuel Sanders will be a top 30 receiver. And maybe that's not even that bold because he's been pretty damn good this year.
I don't
year.
Think that's bold enough. Yeah, I think I'd almost consider him like a top 25 guy right now. Yeah,
right. But I think a lot of people still don't view him as such. I just like losing Dawson Knox. He's not, I don't even think he's going to go on IR, but he is going to miss a few weeks. The Bills obviously go 3 and 4 wide as much as any team in the NFL. And I thought Gabriel Davis would be a little bit more involved this year, but Emmanuel Sanders, like, the Bills have tried to get Emmanuel Sanders on their team for like 2 years now. This isn't just like, oh, all the veteran receivers or free agents we wanted were gone. We'll take him. Like, they really like him. Brandon Bean loves Emmanuel Sanders, and he's been heavily involved, at least 6 targets in all but 1 game. Even in that game, he had 5, and that was the Chiefs game where they were, you know, ahead. He's right up there with Stephon Diggs on the team for the team lead in end zone targets. He's getting a lot. He's actually the deep target receiver on this offense led by Josh Allen. The schedule's great. They get Miami this week, Jacksonville. So again, yeah, maybe it's not bold enough. The receiver position is pretty loaded. I'll say top 25 to top 30, just cause I still think people view him as like in that wide receiver 40 range. And, I mean, look, at this point, like, you probably feel better about Emmanuel Sanders than definitely Allen Robinson, but with the situation in Seattle right now, you feel better about Sanders and Tyler Lockett. It pains me to say that because, Lockett's still an amazing player, but that's just kind of where we're at here. Like you said, we're 7 weeks in.
Yeah, and I mean, Lockett, we're, what, a couple weeks away here from Russ probably coming back after their bye. So
hopefully,
things
I mean,
get,
their season's kind
it's
of...
It's true.
I think Wilson will come back. It's not like it's like a foot or an ankle. It's the finger that he had the pin or whatever, he had the pin out of his hand. So I think he'll be back. But yeah, I mean, it's rough for a lot of these receivers right now.
And I'm with you on the fact that if you're talking about a guy that has put up pretty good stats, but you probably still can buy low, I'm with you on it from that angle because, yeah, I don't think he's getting enough respect as far as Sanders goes in that offense where they're throwing so much. And you mentioned Dawson Knox out, and we'll see. Maybe that'll open up the door for everybody's talking about Tommy Sweeney at tight end, but maybe that'll open up the door for Gabe Davis to have a couple decent weeks here while Dawson Knox is out. But for sure, it'll help the target shares of all the other receivers in that offense as well. I mentioned before a buy low receiver that I wanted to bring up. And this guy, to me, it just seems like a slam dunk. And I'll make this, my bold prediction will be Chase Claypool is going to be a top 20 fantasy receiver the rest of the season. And right now, he's coming off the bye. He's the wide receiver 32 in fantasy points per game. Last year, he finished as the wide receiver 18. So what I'm suggesting is he's going to be back up in that range. We got Juju out for the year, so that condenses the targets a little bit. Schedule is going to open up here. He gets the Browns this week, and I know they're pretty good defense, but he really didn't have any problems against them last year. He put up 5 for 101 and a touchdown. He put up 4 for 74 in those 2 meetings. And then he's got a matchup with the Bears, and you just mentioned it. They're kind of like a pass funnel a little bit, and also they're going to be without Khalil Mack. Gets the Lions after that, and then later in the year, during the fantasy playoffs, the Titans, the Chiefs, and the Browns again. And those Titans and Chiefs games, they could be shootouts. Really love those matchups for him. They're going to up a ton of fantasy points to receivers. Pittsburgh's likely going to have to put up some points in those games. I love Claypool, and I think he's going to be a difference maker the rest of the way. And a guy that, kind of like you said with Emmanuel Sanders, I think you can get him at a pretty big discount in terms of what he's actually worth at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the talent's obviously there. I just hope they continue to take some shots down the field with him, but it's going to be, you know, Freiermuth's getting a little bit more involved, but it's mostly going to be a concentrated passing offense between Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, and Claypool. For my last bold prediction, I'm going to go to the running back spot again. And this has been, I would say, probably the most frustrating player this year because you just can't get him right. But Myles Gaskin, top 15 running back rest of season. Malcolm Brown on IR obviously makes you feel a little bit more comfortable with that prediction. But Malcolm Brown left last week's game, and Gaskin pretty much played a lot more than Savon Ahmed. Had 19 touches in that game. Had a receiving touchdown. And Brown is on IR, so he's going to miss at least the next 3 weeks. I know they brought in Duke Johnson on the practice squad. That doesn't concern me. And, like, it's going to come down to Miami being able to continue and try to run the football. They've been one of the worst rushing offenses in the NFL. But, like, Gaskin, when he's gotten touches, he's been productive. It's just he hasn't gotten consistent touches because they've abandoned the run and they've been mixing in Malcolm Brown a lot. But Brown's not there. Buffalo's a tough spot this week. But then Houston, Baltimore has been bad on the ground. The Jets have been awful on the ground. Carolina, Giants, Jets again. So some good matchups for Myles Gaskin. Probably been dropped in a lot of leagues, but if you held on to him, I think you can finally feel a little bit more comfortable putting him in your lineup.
All right, that's it for the bold predictions. I'm going to speed things up a little bit here because I don't want to keep you too long, but this is one we always ask, which players are being overlooked this week? And you can approach it from really any angle you want. Who's a player that you want to shine the spotlight on?
Let's go Michael Carter, the New York Jets. Ty Johnson left concussion protocol last game. Tevin Coleman was a healthy scratch once again, and Carter got a ton of the work. Got a ton of checkdowns from Mike White, who's going to start again for the Jets. I'm not saying the Jets are going to come out and score a lot of points, but they're going to be trailing a lot, and they face a Bengals team that allows 7.6 receptions per game to opposing running backs, second most in the NFL. Carter was obviously a really talented pass catcher running back in North Carolina, so I like Michael Carter. I think everybody's talking about Kenneth Gainwell this week for obvious reasons, but I think Michael Carter is still a really strong option as a flex this week.
When you mentioned some of the other factors like Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman getting banged up in that game, but that's another one, rookie back coming off his bye week, Getting more work, right? Like maybe we'll see that happen for him down the stretch too. I'm going to throw out a couple here at quarterback. I think this is the kind of game where Kirk Cousins normally puts up pretty good numbers. They're going to be in a potential shootout with the Cowboys. We talked about the projected point total there. I like Cousins as a low-end QB1 this week. Same goes for Daniel Jones, who talked about him enough on Monday's episode going against the Chiefs. Everybody's been able to put up points on them. So no matter who ends up being healthy in that skill position core there, I think Daniel Jones will be able to put up some points, and he always runs around a little bit as well, which boosts his fantasy floor. And then at running back, I don't want to make this a Bills show, but Zach Moss coming off the bye, had a little bit of a clunker before the bye in that Titans game. But from week 2 to week 5, he had 4 straight games of double-digit fantasy points in half PPR leagues. The Dolphins are giving up the 6th most fantasy points to running backs this year, and that Bills schedule, you touched on it. Dolphins, Jags, Jets the next 3 weeks. So I think that Moss breakout is coming. And then receiver and tight end, I really didn't see anybody that stood out as like massively undervalued this week. So if you're looking for deeper plays there, you could check out my rankings update Thursday. You could check out Start, Sit, Stash, Quit on Friday. There'll be lots of info in there, and you can compare those to your rosters and to your waiver wires and see if there's anybody that you can pick up and throw into some of your flex spots. But that brings us to the home stretch here. Going to finish it off with a little rapid fire. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to toss out a couple teammates, and I want you to tell me which one you'd rather play in fantasy this week. So you can give a little context if you want, but the goal here is just zip through these lightning round style kind of as quick as we can. And we will start off here with Chase Edmonds and James Conner.
Chase Edmonds off the injury report after being on the injury report with the shoulder, and he out-touched James Conner and got some of the fourth quarter carries that I thought Conner would get. So, recover from the shoulder, I'll go Edmonds.
All right. And we just talked about him, so I probably know your answer, but Emmanuel Sanders or Cole Beasley?
Yeah, it's got to be Sanders at this point. He's just been a lot more consistent.
All right, this one isn't even the same position, but flex-wise, Calvin Ridley or Kyle Pitts? It's kind of the same position, but not officially fantasy-wise.
Out wide or in the slot like 80% of the time, so
they're pretty much both receivers.
That's tough. I think I'm going to go Pitts.
I kind of think I'm going Pitts too at this point. Marvin Jones or Laviska Shenault?
Come on. This is, you can't have a Marvin Jones or another player question with me on the pod. It's Marvin Jones. It's always Marvin Jones.
I love it. All right, this one will be a little harder maybe. The Seahawks, they kind of turned that backfield into a huge committee last week. They're going up against the Jags this week. Who would you rather go with, Alex Collins, Rashad Penny, DJ Dallas, or Travis Homer?
I'll go Collins because for the second straight week, Pete Carroll came out of the first half and into the second half giving Alex Collins a ton of work. And I think they just wanted to kind of ease Penny into the first half of that Monday night game. So at home against Jacksonville, I'll lean Collins still.
Collins looks good out there too. Like I was watching the game wanting them to give him more, right? Like he looks like clearly the best back.
The problem is they're just running him right up the gut against the Saints run defense. Like nobody's going to get 8 yards, 7 yards. But like, yeah, like the Steelers game, he almost won them that game.
It's true. Yeah, Jags might be a little easier opponent than the Saints were last week. Mike Williams or Keenan Allen?
Oh, it's another tough one.
That's what we're going for here. We're trying to make it difficult on you.
Chargers have the Patriots. I mean, I would expect J.C. Jackson to be on Mike Williams more. So given that, I'll go Keenan Allen.
Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy?
Is Jerry Jeudy 100%? I think he probably is. If Judy's full go and not limited, Jeudy.
All right, and then the last one here with Antonio Brown now kind of out indefinitely. We're not really sure when he's going to be back with this ankle injury. We had the reports that he was on walking with a crutch today at practice.
Yeah.
We had Bruce Arians say that he might be out until after the Bucs bye in week 9. He's not really sure. Could even be longer than that. So anyway, that simplifies things among the receiving corps. They are getting Gronk back, so you know a little bit of a trade-off there. But we'll just focus on the receivers here. Who would you rather play in week 8, Mike Evans or Chris Godwin?
I'm going to go Godwin. I mean, Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore, the matchup of all matchups. These two always go at it, and Lattimore has pretty much had his number for whatever reason. So maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, but I'll go Godwin.
All right, and that's all for today's show. Make sure you're checking out Adam's content over at FTN. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at apfeifer24. This was great, man. I mean, I will apologize for not doing this sooner. I talked about it. I know when I had D-Bro on in the summer, I had said, tell Adam that we're going to get him on here soon, and then we only got around to it now. But I appreciate you taking the time, man, and we're definitely going to have to do it again.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. It's always a great time. And be sure to keep your calendar open because I would love to have you back on Fade the Chalk with myself and D-Bro as well.
Awesome. Can't wait, dude. As for us over at The Score, my trade value charts went up. I mentioned them earlier. It's prime time to make some deals here, so check those out. Make some offers. I want to thank everybody who bid on that charity auction I was involved in. The bidding's closed now, but I look forward to finding out who won that one, and we'll connect, and should be fun there. And I'll be back Friday with the live show, 1 p.m. Eastern. Hope you check that out, and you can take a look at my Twitter feed, at Justin Boone, for more details on that one. But till then, big thanks again to Adam. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.